Hallelujah. Amen. You guys ready for the word today?
Amen.
Amen. We've been talking about power tools. As you find your seats, go ahead and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to keep on going, learning a little bit about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, how they work, and what their function is. So when we talked about power tools, we began this series last month. And if you remember, compliments of Brother Ron McCory and Adam White, we had an array of tools up here, power tools. Remember, one of the phrases we used were power tools get the job done. All right, so let's say that out loud. Say, power tools get the job done. So when God gives us an assignment individually and as a church, He gives power tools to get the job done. There's nothing like having the right tool, right? And when God has given you everything you need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him, then guess what? We have a responsibility then to find out how to use the tools the right way, right? The right way. Back in 2005, my father, he's a big car aficionado. We had a car that he brought home when I was a kid. I remember he towed it home. And, oh, we did, didn't we? All right, well, we'll do it after. So he towed this car home, and I thought my mom was going to blow a gasket. Because this car had been sitting in a field for 10 years. And it had no motor that was working. The motor that was in it didn't work, didn't really belong with the car. And the other motor that belonged with the car was in a box. And he brought it home. And then my mom said, "And you paid how much for this?" And there was one of those marital discussions. But that was in 1973. Fast forward to 2005, that car became part of our family, mm-hmm. in a sense. It was a little sports car, nothing super ostentatious or fancy in its day. Of course, by now, today's values, some 40 plus years later, over 50 years later, that car is worth a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's no longer in our family, but during the time of 2005, my father had it on his heart to restore this car. Mm-hmm. And so he found a restoration specialist, mm-hmm. That was a little bit further away than where he lives in Florida. And, he started working with this gentleman and became friends with him. And the gentleman began to teach my father things. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of interest in that. So we flew down with the kids and had a little vacay. They hung by the pool with Mimi. And my dad and I would get up every single morning and we'd have coffee and a donut or something. My dad loves donuts. Mm-hmm. And we would drive up to Stuart, Florida, and we'd go to this shop. And this man had more tools than the Snap-on man. There were walls that went from floor to ceiling, you know, maybe 15 feet wide. And they were just Snap-on tools. Now, if anybody knows anything about tools, they are a high-end tool that is used in car, automobile repair, and such things as that. And so this gentleman would coach my father. And I thought that was interesting. Do you know the Holy Spirit is here to coach you and me to get the job done? And He's here to teach us how to use the gifts that He wills. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to get back to my story. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren," verse 1, "I do not want you to be ignorant." Now, we talked to you last week. That's not an insult, okay? He just doesn't want us to be unaware. He doesn't want us to be uninformed. And it says here in verse 2, "You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols wherever you were led." You know, the currents of culture will lead you away from God. They will lead you away from His Word, and they'll try to talk you out of it. But if you will stick with the Word, you'll understand some things, and God will be able to teach you some things about the power gifts that are available to you and me. And so in verse 3, it says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus cursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, why did he say that? Because he wanted people to understand that some of these supernatural expressions of the Holy Spirit might seem a little bit strange, but there is something about these gifts that we all must know. They always point to Jesus. They always point to the goodness of God. They always point to Jesus. The gifts of the Spirit get the job done, right? And so when we're looking at this, verse 4 says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So I remember, we're working on the car. I'm excited because it was just such an amazing opportunity to work with my dad. When I was younger, for some reason, I just didn't pay attention. Boy, I wish now that I'm older, I wish I would have learned all that knowledge that he had on working on cars. Even at that stage in 2005, he was learning. He was still a student learning. He was learning from this gentleman who specialized in the restoration of cars. So we came to this part where we were going to have to do something on the car. And my dad didn't know what to do. And he kind of called out to the gentleman's name was Greg. And he says, Greg, I'm not sure what to do here. And he says, oh, I got just the tool. And he went over to this big giant drawer and he got this tool. And we went over and we started working on the car and we got the job done. You see, the Holy Spirit, he is the one who brings diversities of gifts, different types of gifts for different types of needs. Now, we've shared with you that you can classify the main gifts of the Holy Spirit in three categories. The gifts that say something, those are the ones that we're more familiar with, because those are the ones that sometimes make us feel uncomfortable if we didn't grow up in a church that expressed those. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Those are gifts that say something. But then there are gifts that reveal something. We talked about that last week, that a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge can be so subtle sometimes that we don't even barely know that we're being used in that arena. But if you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you might be used in those gifts if you will be open. And remember, we talked about yielding to the Holy Spirit. You yield to the Holy Spirit. Now, Avril gave what she saw in prayer, the pre-service prayer, our fresh oil time, right? Our fresh oil prayer time. She actually brought that out because I was praying about the service and I felt like something else needed to come, but I didn't have it. Do you understand? And see, that's because there's diversities of gifts. Go back to verse 4. But the same Spirit. Say the same Spirit. Glory to God. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Say, same Spirit, same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. It's the same God. It's the same God. Amen. It's the same God. Glory to God. And so when it says, now, but the manifestation of the Spirit, verse 7, is given to each one for the profit of all. That means that God wants the gifts to come forward to what? To build up his church, to get the job done. And I'm so convinced as we follow after the plan of God as a church family, as we follow after the plan of God, and we've been guarding and we have been protecting our prayer time, our pre-service prayer time, that is the key supernaturally that will take this church into the future. And so if you haven't had a chance to come to Fresh Oil, I'm telling you, you got to get there. It's not a huge time commitment at the moment, and it is just a blessed time. You can get a lot accomplished when you are connected in faith and to the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right. So that says, the manifestation of the Spirit given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom. We talked about that last week. It is a supernatural word. It's not just it's not just a wise thought, okay? It's not just, well, it'd be wise to not go into debt and to save your money. That's not a word of wisdom. It's a supernatural word of wisdom. Let's say you're praying for somebody, and you're praying about a situation, and God kind of gives you something that they should consider. Have you considered this? I'll never forget it, and I want to give you this example in my own personal life. I wanted to go to Rhema Bible Training Center as a 17-year-old in the worst way. I had read all of Brother Hagin's books. I went to a faith-filled, charismatic Bible study. I got involved in a Pentecostal church that was down the street. I wanted to go to Rhema. I'm 17. And at the time, my father was not very open to that idea. He was not. Now, my brother-in-law, Ed Elliott, was getting ready to leave and go to Rhema. This would have been 1982. The fall of 1982. And man, I was frustrated and I wanted to go, and my dad was like, No. You need to go to a real college. That's what he told me. Wow. Right? And he's since softened a whole lot when it came to that. You mellow with age, right? And so one of the things that happened, I was praying, and I was like, man, I don't know if I want to go down. There was a Christian school down the street. I could have gone there, but I just didn't feel it. I didn't feel it down here. I was learning to walk with the plan of God and the things of God in my life. I was learning to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And down here, and I remember one of my mentors in the ministry, Dr. Wayne Lee, he used to say, you sense the Holy Spirit down here. And I'll never forget him teaching us that. It's not up here, it's down here. And so one day I remember exactly where I was. I was in our home in North Palm Beach, Florida. And my mom came out one morning and she said, and this is late in the senior year. Most of the time when you're a senior, you have to figure out where you're going to college long in advance, right? And so this is probably April or May of my senior year. I'm getting ready to graduate. My sister's getting ready to get married to Ed Elliott, and they're going off to Rhema, or at least he is. And so I didn't know what to do. And I'm praying. And then all of a sudden, my mother, who had been praying, comes to me one day and she says, have you thought about Oral Roberts University? And I was like, no, I hadn't. One of my friends was going there, but I hadn't thought of it. It was not anything that, and as soon as she said it, it kind of went down in here. Yeah. And the more that she just did a drive-by. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She did a drive-by.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I think you should consider Oral Roberts because isn't your friend Therese Guerrier going there from the Bible study? I said, yeah. And so I began to pray about it. The more I prayed about it, I felt like then the Lord made it mine and said, go to ORU. And so that is a word of wisdom in a practical sense, right? And once it hit my spirit, then I knew what to do. So it said, let's get back to the scripture here. It says, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. The word of knowledge. When you supernaturally know something in the mind of God that you couldn't have known naturally speaking. And that's happened many different times. Where sometimes I'll be praying for somebody, I'll say something, I mentioned that to you last week. These are gifts that reveal something. These are gifts that reveal something. Say power tools. They get the job done. Amen. All right. And then it goes on to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles. Now, he kind of couples these three gifts into what I would call these particular gifts. I would call these gifts do something. Say do something. Right? So when Brother Adam brought his collection of tools along with Brother Ron LaCorey, some of those tools, they had specific purposes, right? And some of them had power to do something. And that's important. Sometimes you have tools that measure something, right? And so all of these tools have a diversity, but remember, it's the same Spirit, right? And so when we understand that the gifts of miracles or the gifts of healing, I like that the Apostle Paul said gifts of healing. Now, one of the things you'll find about the gifts of the Spirit, sometimes they work kind of together, and it's hard to figure out, well, was that a word of knowledge? Was that a word of wisdom? Was that a gift of healing? Sometimes they work all in one kind of very quick way. And you've probably seen ministers, and it's happened here at this church, where somebody senses that I just sense there is somebody that has shoulder pain is getting healed, right? And you'll hear ministers say stuff like that. Well, what is that? Well, that's a word of knowledge that comes out, but then it is manifest in a gift of healing. The reason why I'm taking some time to talk about the gifts of the Spirit is because I think we're ignorant. We're not educated in these things, and we've got to get back to the Scriptures and understand how these things work in our midst to build the body of Christ. Remember that it is to profit everybody, right? It is to cause everybody to go up to another level. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. Well, somebody says, well, what is that? The working of miracles. Well, it's exactly what you think it is. That when there is an actual miraculous event or situation, these are gifts that do something. You can see works of miracles or gifts of miracles when somebody who didn't have an eye has an eye.
That's right.
And ask Brother Ennis. Reverend Ennis has got a video of a gentleman who had, I believe it was a glass eye.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, he had a glass eye. And the Lord caused him to see out of the glass eye. What is that? That's a miracle.
That's a miracle,
right? Just working of miracles. When a leg grows out, a working of miracle. When something that wasn't there now forms, that's a working of miracle. That's a working of a miracle, right? When something that was, it's not just healing. That's why sometimes when somebody has a dire health situation, it's not just healing, but it's restoration. It's the working of miracles where something that wasn't now is.
That's right.
All right? And so when we think about working of miracles and sometimes in tandem with the gifts of healing. To another, the working of miracles. To another, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Some people say, well, what is the gift of faith? The gift of faith is this. If you even tried to doubt, you couldn't. That's the gift of faith. And when that's manifest, it sets the stage for some pretty big miracles. When that's manifest, there's no doubt. We're not trying to work something up. There's just no doubt. And that is the type of miracles I believe we're going to see. I believe we're going to see that. Reverend Ennis actually referenced John 14. Greater works than these shall you do. Right? Greater works. The greater works are for the body of Christ. The greater works, in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, are for us to see the body of Christ built up. To see us built up. Why? Because there are hurting people who need to come in contact with power gifts, with the power tools. Why? Because they get the job done. F.F. Bosworth said this, healing is the dinner bell of the gospel.
Glory
to God. Some of the tent meetings of Oral Roberts back in the 1940s and 50s, they gathered thousands of people because God was manifesting himself in healing, in signs and wonders, miraculous things. I've seen the videos, the films, and you can find them on YouTube. It's spectacular. That was a season that God was using, not just with Oral Roberts, but many different ministers across the United States and the world were experiencing what people have termed the Great Healing Revival. Mm-hmm. And it ushered in the charismatic renewal that we talked about last week, where the Holy Spirit was arresting people, so to speak, and just getting their attention. Father Dennis Bennett over in Darien, Connecticut, I actually mentioned him. Several people got filled with the Holy Spirit. They'd go back into their regular denominational church, and nobody expressed it, nobody talked about it, nobody knew anything about the gifts of the Spirit. So what ended up happening? They either went to a brand new church that was forming around being a Spirit-filled, Word-based church, or they went back into their home churches, and they just kind of sat there waiting for another move of God. We've got people that are still in some of those churches waiting for another move of God, and I believe we're here. I believe that God wants to pour out His Spirit in every church, and that's why we've been praying since the start of this year. We've been praying for specifically different houses of worship in our community. Why? Because there is enough of God to bless them and bless us.
Yes.
There's enough buildings to be full, and yes, still there would be people that yes wouldn't be able to get in.
Yes.
And so I believe that God wants to bless every church to be filled with His glory, filled with new faces, filled with friends, filled with people hungry with God. And we're going to be that one. And we're going to be so excited when it happens to somebody else. We're not going to be jealous. We're going to say, glory to God, you got that city, or you got that area. But there's still more. There's still more. There's still more. You see, the power gifts, they are to get the job done. Hallelujah. Get the job done. So we're talking about these gifts. And sometimes people say, what about raising the dead, Pastor? What about raising the dead? Well, let me tell you something. That is happening. It's happening. It has happened, and it is happening. Modern day miracles. Documented. I'm thinking of Dr. Chauncey Crandall. He's a cardiologist. He lives in Palm Beach County, Florida. He was an emergency cardiologist at the Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center. Been there many times. And a gentleman was brought in with a heart attack. And the man was, they tried working on him. They couldn't get him. He died. They had already zapped him several times. They couldn't get a heart going. He had been gone for over 15 minutes. Gone. They had already pulled the sheet over him. Brother Chauncey Crandall sensed the Spirit of God down here, because he's a believer. Not up here, down here. He walks by the gentleman. He's a doctor. He's a surgeon. He's a heart surgeon. He walks by, and the Spirit of God arrests him and says, just pray for that man. Pray for that man. What is that? What is that? What is that? Why do you... You can't pray for dead people. What is that? He obeyed. Because let me tell you something. When the gift of faith is in operation, you can't doubt. If you tried, you couldn't. He turned to the nurse. He said, hit him again. And the nurse looked at him. Doctor, we can't do that. I'm going to get in trouble. He's dead. We've already said he's dead. We've already put the time down when he's dead. We've already filled out the paperwork, or at least started to fill out the paperwork. He's dead. We declared him dead. And he said, I'll take responsibility. Hit him again. And he prayed, and they hit him again, and that man came to life.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
And that man has no brain damage, no lasting damage.
Thank you, Jesus.
No problems. And guess what? He didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
And he said this in his testimony. All he saw was darkness.
Oh, wow.
And he was alone. There is a real hell. And it should motivate us to learn the ways of the Spirit. So that if he says to you, whatever he says to you, you do it. Right? So, the gift of faith, you couldn't doubt if you had to. Chauncey Crandall has a book. If you're interested, you can read that whole story. And it's the title of the book is Raising the Dead. Mm-hmm. So there's that. You know, there's that. So the gifts of the Spirit are not passed away. I talked to you about that last week. It didn't just pass away when the last apostle died. There are people who believe that, and sadly so, it's okay. I still love them. They're still my brothers and sisters, right? If they know Jesus, okay, that's fine. But let me tell you something. It just doesn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense to me as a 15-year-old when they told me that. And it still doesn't make sense to me. What do you mean? John was the last apostle who was on planet Earth. He was the only one who didn't give his life for the sake of the gospel. And, you know, he's there in Ephesus. That's where he was after he did his stint on the Isle of Patmos. And I just had this thought, you know, that people are gathered around getting ready to lay hands on somebody because they're sick, and or getting ready to pray for somebody for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or getting ready to speak in other tongues, or getting ready to prophesy, and all of a sudden a messenger comes running in. Wait, don't do that because it won't work. John just died. It just doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't.
And so when we look at church history, we see that God has always had an expression of the gifts of the Spirit. It's time that we are not ignorant anymore, but we educate ourselves. Amen? All right, and it says here, verse 10, it says, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Hallelujah. Verse 11 says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as who wills? As he wills. Power gifts get the job done, but we've got to be sensitive to knowing what that gift is and what is he saying to us. Hallelujah. And sometimes you step out to find out. Sometimes you don't know. Sometimes when we're praying for people, or we have guests that are here, and we're praying for people, we might not know. We might not know exactly what gift's going to come out. We might not know. Sometimes God will show you in advance. He'll give you a picture. You know, it seems here these last several weeks that God seems to give pictures to Sister Avril.
Yeah,
that's how. And if you'll know how language works in pictures. It works in pictures, in our minds. That's how language is translated. We hear a sound or sounds put together, and it creates an image in our minds. So it's no wonder that God would speak that way. He still speaks in pictures, and we're wired to understand those. We're wired to understand those. So what about these gifts? Well, it says there that you can, in verse 10, a gift of prophecy. Now, prophecy in the New Testament is not telling the future. It's not telling the future of, oh, you will marry somebody and become wealthy. And
Come on now.
No, that's psychic network stuff. That's horoscope stuff. You know, don't mess with that. It just don't even mess with the fake. Don't even joke with the fake. You know, I know Christians that read their horoscope. That's just such a waste of time. I'd rather read Scripture.
Right.
I'd rather read Scripture because it makes no sense to me. This is a living, active word, right? And the Holy Ghost can lead us and speak to us supernaturally down here, not up here. And we're not just reading a bunch of mumbo jumbo that somebody, you know, came up with, right? And so it's important that we stay focused. Don't settle for the fake. Don't settle for the fake. Come on, that's, you know, and don't dabble in things that you shouldn't be dabbling in. All right. And I'm not condemning people. I'm just saying there's the real and there's the fake. Go for the real. Go for the real. Amen. If you're going to spend time on something, you know, go for the real. Just go for the real. All right. Amen. All right. So prophecy is not the foretelling of future. Prophecy is a foretelling of God's message. It's an anointing on God's message. Sometimes people have tried to water this particular word, prophecy. They've tried to water it down a little bit and say, well, it's preaching. Well, not all preaching is prophecy. It has an element of prophecy to it, but it is not necessarily prophecy, right? And just because you prophesied does not make you a prophet. Okay? I am not a prophet. I can tell you that. I don't have that. That's not a gift, a office gift, which we'll teach another time. That's not something that I am. Now, have I been used in prophecy? Yes. Yes. When God has an inspired utterance that comes from the very throne of God to his people, that is an inspired utterance. That's prophecy. Now, Christians, sometimes they get excited when somebody gives you a personal word of prophecy. Here's my word of caution on that. Personal words of prophecy, just bank them in the back of your mind. And if it resonates with your spirit and confirms what God's already been talking to you, then you can proceed with knowing that that was a confirmation. Sometimes people are well-meaning. And they're well-meaning, and they'll say something to you. And, you know, I remember I told you about Saturday Night Live, our little Bible study. Sometimes everybody get really exuberant. We get really excited. And sometimes your mind takes over and kind of, you might have heard a couple things from the Holy Spirit, but not quite. If it's not quite, it's not right. If it's just about, look out. All right? So, I remember I was at this guy. He really flowed in the gifts of the Spirit, so I was always really impressed to be around him. Brother Nelson, he had a nickname, Fuzzy. He had a nickname, Fuzzy. We'd say, oh, what did Fuzzy say? Now, we're all teenagers. We're very enamored with the things of God, excited about the things of God, whatever happened on Saturday Night Live. Listen, I would rather have a little wildfire than have no fire at all. I would rather miss it a couple times because God knows where I am than not do anything at all. I don't want the gift of wet blanket in this church, okay? I want the fire of God in this church, and I want it flowing through the pews, not pews, but the chairs. I want it flowing through the aisles in you so that you have access to the power tools. So just like my father and I had access to these expensive tools from the Snap-on man to do the job, to get the job done, so that he could show this car in a national show and come in third place, People's Choice. Yes, glory to God. And it was fun. All right. But it's messy. Sometimes you mess up. Sometimes you bang your thumb. Sometimes it's a little bit awkward. And I remember the first time I ever prophesied. What I prophesied wasn't even scriptural. Thanks be to God for Mrs. Kaiser, the Friendly Bible Institute's wife, our FBI man's wife. And she pulled me aside in the living room. That's where people would talk after the meeting. It's the meeting after the meeting. And she pulled me aside and she patted me on my shoulder. She said, I really believe that the Lord was trying to tell you something. But I must tell you that what you said doesn't line up with the Word of God. But we love you. But I believe you heard something. She was not negative. She said, I believe you heard something. So now get your hearing more. Spend time with him. He's going to show you. Get in the Word and you'll know. Get in the Word. That changed my life. Because then the next time I started sensing something, I stepped out. And it was right on. It was right on. It was like, okay, this is how we learn. We practice being in a move of God. We practice, and we might mess up. You might be praying for a friend and say, I don't know if this makes sense to you, but I sense this. And that's the kind of thing that Sister Iris was saying in prayer today, too. It's that we're practicing the presence of God in worship. Remember there what the Word of God tells us in Acts chapter 13, that they worshiped and they were fasting and praying, and the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work I've sent them. Right? God will give assignments. He'll speak supernaturally. He'll open doors of utterance. If you've heard somebody say, what's a door of utterance? That's when there's a supernatural anointing on what is being said. There's a weightiness to it. You've been in services where the preacher, you felt like the preacher was just speaking to you, right? Right? There was a weightiness. There was an anointing on that. That was the Holy Spirit speaking directly to your spirit. We are spirit people. All right, so you might have a word of prophecy. Discerning of spirits. I remember the first time this ever happened to me. I was praying with my friends. We wanted revival in the public schools. We wanted it. To the point, this is before Columbine and a lot of the school shootings. You could go on campuses, and down in Florida, basically, they were open campuses. The classroom door basically was on a covered sidewalk. And so we went to my friend's high school one night at 10 o'clock at night. I'm surprised we were not, arrested for trespassing. But they didn't have cameras like they do now. And we went there and we just walked the halls of Palm Beach Gardens High School praying for revival, praying for revival. And there was a sense, not up here, but down here, that we came across some demonic spirits that were hanging out in the hallways. Amen. See, there is a real devil and there are real spirits. Now, we don't believe in here a devil, there a devil, everywhere a devil. We don't believe everybody has demons and all of that, but there are demons, and they do hang out in certain places. And if you are finding yourself in those places, get out of those places. All right? So I remember one of us started sensing that, so we start praying. So we're praying in other tongues, and then we start commanding.
Yes.
We start commanding those demons to leave that high school, and that they were not allowed to work. You know, right after that, our Bible study started growing, and guess what school some of those kids started coming from? Palm Beach Gardens High School. And they started bringing friends, and their friends were getting delivered. I'm telling you, God showed up. Why? Because the power gifts get the job done. So the discerning of spirits, that is, you know, God will show you that. And sometimes it's when somebody has a demonic influence. Now, I believe this is, you can send me an email if you want to. I believe that Christians can't be possessed, but I definitely believe they can be oppressed. All right? Oppressed. That means demons sometimes can oppress somebody and keep them in some kind of bondage. But when the Spirit of God shows you, reveals those things to you, you can take authority and get rid of them. All right? And if it's somebody who doesn't know the Lord, and I often, because it's not something that's happened a lot in my ministry, but I will tell you that one time in Haiti, you've heard me tell the story, that I sensed there was a demon. In fact, a lady in Haiti was manifesting demons. She was slithering on the ground like a snake. And I'm thinking I'm God's man of faith and power. And it was pretty obvious that it was a demon, okay? You didn't have to be real sensitive to be the discerning of spirits. And I decided I would be like the big man, and I go, bring her here. That's what I saw other people do, so I thought I had to do that. But lo and behold, my teenagers learned the authority of the believer, and they didn't bring her here to me. They went to her, and they cast the devil out of her, and she was in her right mind and showed up at church that night, gave her heart to Jesus, and it was a supernatural deliverance. I'm telling you, these gifts are for the benefit of building up the body of Christ. I'm almost done. And then it says here, different kinds of tongues. The Apostle Paul talks about in this same book about, though I speak in the tongues of men and angels. There is a prayer tongue. And then there is a message in tongues, where sometimes the Lord will bring out a message that needs to be interpreted. Now it says, don't give that message unless there's an interpreter present. And there are people who, they kind of flow in that. They're naturally given to that interpretation process. I'm thinking of Reverend Annie Durant and Kevin Durant. They flow in that gift a lot together. There have been times Pastor Christine and I have stepped into that. As the Holy Spirit wills, a message in tongues will come forth and an interpretation will come forth as well. Well, again, that goes back to yielding. How do you yield? You submit yourself. You submit yourself to God. You bring yourself under and you step out in faith. Amen. All right. So there are different kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11 says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Glory to God. So it's as he wills. It's as he wills. You say, well, Pastor, how do I know it's God? Well, seek after those things. Say, God, if you want to use me in the gifts of the Spirit, show me. Show me. Begin to show me. You know, they're not your gifts anyway. They're his gifts. He lives on the inside of you. You're a child of God. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. He can get you to be more sensitive to those things and you can step out. You step out to find out. You sense him down on the inside right here. And sometimes you just sense it. You know, there have been times when I missed it. I missed it. Why did I miss it? Because I'm second guessing. Lord, do you really want me to say this now? God, if you want me to say this, there has to be an open moment to say it. And so whoever is running a service, if they didn't give an open moment, I'm not saying nothing. I'm not going to disrupt the service. I'm not going to, just in the middle of something else, just disrupt. No, the gifts of the Spirit are never disruptive. And the Word tells us that the Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. In other words, you have control. God doesn't, I told you this last week, God doesn't just come down and start wagging your tongue and make you speak in tongues. No, it's you yield that part of your life to him. You begin to speak with other tongues. And as you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can just tap into that so quick. And you can begin to tap in to that prayer language. You know, he's not going to necessarily give you a message, but the more you do that, then he can tap on your shoulder. And you will know when a message in tongues comes, because it will come differently. It's just that river of living water. And you just sense there's more authority in what's coming out. More authority in your speaking those things. And God will confirm that through the interpretation. And so these are things that I really believe that God wants us to know about power tools. That they get the job done, but they want to manifest among us. You say, well, how do I learn how to do that, Pastor? Right here in a local church. That's how. We practice the presence of God. We make room for the Holy Spirit. We make room. Say, make room. We make room for the Holy Spirit. It's that time of listening. Some of the best church services I've ever been in my life are when there is that moment where the Holy Spirit just sweeping across the crowd and ministering to his people. And then you know. And that's when that quiet moment's, and then you just never know what God's going to do. And if you're open, he'll use you. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the power gifts. Thank you, Father God, for these gifts that get the job done. And Father, we thank you. You've given us a job. You've given us a job. You've given us assignments. As we spend more time in your presence, I thank you you're able to make those assignments more vivid and more real and more just urgent. Because of the day that we live. Father, that the authentic, not the fake, not the manufactured, but the authentic move of God has a place in this church, in this congregation. Father, I pray, God, that you administer your great grace your great grace to this church, Father, as we proceed in following after you in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that we desire the gifts to be manifest so that Jesus is glorified in our midst. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're watching, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your life, you've never been born again, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ into your life. If you've been away from God, and this is an opportunity for you to pray with us in a moment, and you can just recommit your life to Christ. Just make that as a recommittal to Him and to letting Jesus truly be Lord. That means He gets to control the shots. He gets to call the shots. And so right now, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here or you're watching online, you want to receive Christ, I want you to raise your hand. You want to recommit your life to Christ, I want you to raise your hand. And we're going to pray together. Is there anybody at all? I'm just waiting just for a moment. Maybe somebody's online, and this is just that opportunity right there where you are. Now let's all pray together. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for my sins, that He was raised from the dead. I receive His forgiveness right now by faith in the name of Jesus. And I call Jesus my Lord and Savior from this day on in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, we want to know about it. Just message us. Let us know after service. If you need special prayer or anything, please, we're available. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, that's never happened in your life, but you want that in your life. I'm just going to be hanging out down here and just be willing to pray for you if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. We want to be able to send you some things, help you in your walk with God. Amen. 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 Pastor Christine, if you would like to give online, you can. We haven't taken our offering at this time. You can. We have receptacles at the back. You can text to give if you haven't given your offering. I know some of you had prepared. We kind of got ahead of ourselves today. We got excited, man. I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit is just breeding an excitement in us, in our leaders, and those that are here before you. It's exciting. You got to get here. If you haven't been here, back here in a while, there is just a fresh anointing. There is God doing something supernaturally. You can still join us online, but man, I'll tell you, if you can get here in person, we'd love to have you. Amen. All right, let's pray for our gifts right now. Father, thank you for every gift that is given today, Lord, that it would be blessed. That both the giver, Father, and the receiver, this church, would be blessed, that we would have everything we need as a church to do all that you put in our heart to do, to be that loving, encouraging church. We thank you, God, for multiplying the gifts. Let the gospel be preached in our region and beyond. Let every relationship and connection this church has as a church body and as individuals, that they would be blessed as they give. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand our feet right now. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. This is my testimony this week. The Lord preserved me from all evil. Hallelujah. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you. We have ukulele band practice right after this.